Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we've done a couple of these conversations in the last several months, and we decided that throughout the season of Lent, we could hear from other members of Bethesda and to learn a little bit more about their story as we think about them kind of wrapped in this theme of receive, respond, and rejoice. I thought it was funny. Jackie said her husband said that doesn't really sound like a Lent theme to him. Didn't sound like it was quite fitting. So, Jackie, I'm throwing this to you at the last minute, but so instead we're going to use the words repent, reflect, and renew. I'm just joking, actually, but that's my Lent three words, though. So repent, reflect, renew. Yeah. So, is her microphone working? I just want to make sure you're not hearing it. So let's make sure. Oh, you know what? You're on mute. That's why. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, see, now it's working.
Oh.
It's important we can hear both of us. That's the important piece. So one, I'm going to start with something really easy just because that way will warm you up a little bit. So I know as of yesterday, you have something new you're rejoicing about, and that is the fact that you get to start leading classes in the pool again next
Yes.
week. So that's a
Yes.
big rejoice.
Big
Yeah.
rejoice. Yes, big rejoicing. Should I go ahead and?
Yeah, go ahead and
Okay.
just play with that. Yeah.
Okay. Rejoicing and joy is probably my favorite, two of my favorite words. I've just had so many reasons to rejoice. And I have a journal here, and I was kind of going over it the other day, and it said, "But I'm not feeling the joy." You know, how many of us, we're supposed to rejoice, but we don't feel the joy. When I was in my 20s, I actually wrote a poem about joy. I had just broken off my engagement. Is that me breathing?
Yeah, let's try to move it on the outside
Okay.
of your mask. Just try to move the arm on the outside of your mask. As we're doing too many things here, but
Okay,
that's
I'm
okay.
sorry.
Let's try this. Whoops, without knocking it off your ear.
Hello?
You might have
Should I
to.
just hold it a little bit?
Yeah, you could actually just take it off and hold it if you wanted to, just to try to talk right at it, right at the end. Yeah, you could try
Do
that.
that or
But get it
stop
nice and
breathing.
close.
Anyway, I had broken off the engagement and I knew it was the right thing to do, but it was still really awful. And so I wrote a poem, and I actually think that it fits even for how we're feeling right now. It was actually a song, but I'm not going to sing it. And remember, I was 22, so this might not be theologically correct. Joy, says the Lord, is a feeling I should have when life is going rotten or especially extra bad. It's easy to be praising Him when everything's okay, but the real test of faith is when life goes the other way. I cry and I mope. I sometimes curse His holy name. I wonder where I'd be had Jesus done the same. I know He's got a plan for me. Sometimes that's hard to see, but I gotta keep smiling and looking up and praise Him joyfully. If I could just learn to trust Him and not be a doubting Thomas. The Christian life's not easy. Jesus never made that promise. And then I go into the verses again. And what I like about that is so often joy comes after something not so pleasant. There's a passage in Scripture that says, "Rejoice always." And oftentimes for me, I can say the words, "Rejoice," but I don't feel it. But the action of rejoicing, eventually my feelings will change to feeling joy. It's kind of like in the same category as the passage that says, "Give thanks." I can give thanks to the Lord. Here's my thanks, even if I'm not always feeling thankful. but the action of doing that can bring the thankfulness.
Yeah, I think sometimes in our lives of faith, we don't always feel at the moment that thing that we're supposed to feel or we think we're supposed to feel, mm-hmm. but we still go through that, almost go through the motions of it, so that at some point later on we get to feel that emotion when it can finally come out. So exactly. I'm going to ask you a question I didn't prepare you for, but what would you tell your 22-year-old self now if you could, you know, could tell her, hey, here's what you should think about, you know, here's what I wish you knew.
What would I tell my 22-year-old self?
I know, that's a hard question.
Get a different haircut, for one thing. I would tell myself, not to sound trite, but this too shall pass. And what I mean by that is, eventually you're going to know why this happened, mm-hmm. and eventually you'll be able to rejoice more. Mm-hmm. And I say that also with a little side note, that maybe I won't know that this side of heaven. Maybe I won't learn that until I'm up with Jesus, but that's just where I have to trust that he's got my plan. Mm-hmm. Which reminds me of an incident that happened with my daughter. And she's given me permission to share this. December 2018, Christina was in a really, really bad place, and it resulted in her having to be hospitalized in the psychiatric unit. It was horrible. It was during Christmas. It was just horrible. I was in tears all the time. I was angry. I was frustrated. I just, why is this happening, Lord? Well, and this is how God works that I love. Had she not spent that week in the hospital, we would not have found out the right mix for her medication. And she is as stable as she's ever been since that. Mm-hmm. What started out as something so horrendous turned into something good. And along with that story, I talked to Tom. And he said some words to me that were so helpful. Wherever you run into despair, there you find Christ bearing the despair on his shoulders. I'm thankful for our pastors and the wise words that you passed too, Steve. That just gives me a lot of joy, and I rejoice over that. Another good friend, who also happens to be a Lutheran, I didn't know until she told me. She said something really wonderful too. And I want to say it just right. This isn't the story that you would have written for Christina, but it's the one that God gave her. Just taking the pressure off of us trying to manipulate and, you know, work things out. Almost fell out of the chair.
Don't fall off the chair, yeah.
Don't fall. Just as a little side note, often when I go through hard times, or even good times, I make these little art journals, and then I write on the back of them what went on. It's just really helpful, mm-hmm. for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Well, I think lots of us in this room have been parents, or are parents, you know, and so you have that sense of what you want for your child.
Exactly.
I mean, and honestly, we start dreaming those things before they're even born. In your case, you know, kind of when you first met her, you start dreaming these dreams.
Yes.
And so then at some point, they may or may not follow those dreams as we would see them. Mm-hmm. But what a good perspective from a friend to be able to say, but this is God's story for her, and maybe you need to just kind of see what God has in store and not to put your own anxiety on top of that story.
Right. It's true. You know, when I think about the things that we've all gone through, Steve and I talked about this a little bit. Now, you're going to pretend that this is a as if I'm directing an orchestra. It's a piece of plastic, but it works. So when you think of music, sometimes there's some dissonance, and there's some parts, the notes are like really sour, and it sounds kind of yucky, but then it all comes together. And I like to think that sometimes this is how our Lord works in our lives. We've got kind of that yucky stuff. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't look so good. But it eventually can come together, and you can really rejoice. Mm-hmm. And Steve and I were also talking about sometimes this type of music can maybe be, you know, a little jazzy. Yep. It's got some rhythm to it. Yep. Maybe it's slow and depressing, but still, I think joy and rejoicing has so much to do with just trusting in our Lord. Even if it's hard, even if you don't have those feelers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, it's true, and I like that imagery, and I'm the one that kind of threw the jazz out there, because anybody who's kind of leading a jazz band, when a solo time comes, they don't necessarily know what the soloist is going to play, but they trust that the soloist is going to add to the beauty of the music and not draw from it, so that they're building on what has already been created. And so I kind of like that imagery of thinking about sometimes in life, all of a sudden the director points at you and it's like, hey, it's your solo now. Do something with it, you know? And sometimes we fumble through the first few notes until we kind of catch our groove. Sometimes it takes a little longer than that, but that in the end, it's still part of that greater song that's being created. So, yeah.
The other thing that I just wanted to bring up that has really helped me stay joyful is I have this prayer box. And I have prayers in here from 1993. These are prayers that have been answered through, you know, the current year. And I like to get this box out every now and then as a reminder of how God's been faithful to me. Just a real tangible reminder. It reminds me of the Israelites when they were lost for 40 years. They would stop and make some type of marker where God had done something for them. So when they came back then, they could remember that. So sometimes when I'm feeling really just wondering, forgetting maybe sometimes how God's blessed me, this is just so precious to me. And prayer definitely, keeping in prayer, helps me to stay joyful and rejoice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other part of that, and I think this is what leads you to go to the box. Mm-hmm. You have to remember the Israelites would also start to murmur against Moses and against God for, sure, why'd you get us out here in the wilderness if you're going to let us die? So I think we sometimes have those feelings ourselves, and we have to go to the box to remind ourselves of the ways God has been faithful.
Yeah. Make yourself a box. Specifically at Bethesda, I've had so many profound experiences, but I'm going to share two of them. A couple months ago, it was pre-COVID, there were several of us ladies that were meeting for prayer, and it was another minor time when my daughter was in kind of a bad place. And I just started sobbing. I wasn't expecting the tears to come, but I was just sobbing. And one of the women, just kind of spontaneously, she had some oil, and she stood up, walked around the table, laid her hands on me. The three other women came, and they anointed me, and they prayed for me. I have never experienced anything like that. And I thought, where else to get that connection? Where can you get that? Hopefully it would be within your own church family. Mm-hmm. And I was so touched. And then another time, I was sitting in the pew on a Sunday. A friend had been murdered by her husband, a gal where I worked had overdosed. Just some real heavy stuff. And again, I'm a crier, that's just what I do. And Deanna Rivera was sitting behind me, I wish she was here, and she just put her arms around me and just prayed with me. Again, where can you get that type of love and support? Hopefully it will be within your church family. That's one of my markers. It's in my box.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to something that I've been recognizing kind of as these months have gone on and on through COVID, is that all of the things that we do in church that are physical, that are intimate, we're not allowed to do because we're supposed to stay 6 feet from each other, and we're not supposed to.
Yes.
And I think about even the fact that for some people, when they come to the rail and receive communion, that's one of the only times another human being touches them in the course of a week. Mm-hmm. And to lose that kind of connection. So, I mean, for you, those moments are huge because people put their hands on you, but it's one of those things that we're missing in our lives together right now because we're not supposed to do those things. And I kind of worry about what's that long-term effect of you know, and this comes from the guy who doesn't like to hug. But I recognize that it's not healthy, the way we've been going. So, yeah.
We need to all buy the person next to us a stuffed animal.
yeah. Well, thank you. I think that's a good start to these stories and a good way for people to kind of get to know you better, but also kind of hear about the ways that you think about rejoicing. And I think that helps each one of us as well, because I think we all have those moments when we're like, we know we're supposed to feel one thing, but we're maybe not quite there yet. And then it kind of happens later down the road. Or I think the other thing, and I hear this in your story too, and I think this is true for all of us, is that, you know, sometimes it's a year down the road, sometimes it's 2 years down the road, sometimes it's 10 years down the road, and you look back on an event and you finally kind of recognize, okay, God, I get what you were up to. Up until this point, I didn't know what it was. And maybe you're right. Maybe that there are a few stories in our life that tell the other side of glory. We're not going to quite understand what they meant. When we get a chance to maybe ask some questions and say, what exactly were you doing? Because I never quite got that lesson.
Yeah, that and why did you make flies?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, if you want to just come back up after and collect your stuff too, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Yeah, that's fine. What I love about every time we do anything like this on our Wednesday evenings is that people approach these things in different ways. So it leads to different conversations and leads to different ways of hearing about how somebody else does things. One of the things Jackie said about herself is she's a very visual person, so she likes to have visual things to help her remember, to help her think about how life is going. For other people, you might have other symbols, or you might have other ways that you kind of mark those same kind of things. But that's really helpful for other people as they're trying to kind of figure out how it is that they're trying to navigate their faith life as well. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.